so that they can catch a train into the big city. The death toll from the powerful earthquakes that hit west-central Japan has risen to 55, 16 others seriously hurt. The Dow down 37 points. This is SRN News.
Conservative Theological University has provided biblical theological education for God's pastors, evangelists, missionaries, and Christian educators since 1982. CTU would be delighted to assist you in your Bible studies. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today. The CTU campus is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295. Leave your contact info today at 1-800-GO-BIBLE.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the question today, should we, that is we the people, we in the city of Jacksonville, we in America, should we erase history? Should we erase history? Our historical benchmarks, our historical monuments, the historical statues across America, some 10,000 of them even today across our nation, are there for a purpose. That purpose is to identify history past. It is to record history that in future generations, if a question is asked, what is the statue of Abraham Lincoln for? Who was he? George Washington, who was that man? What is that there for? And any of the other historical figures that makes up American history. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I cringe at the thought of erasing American history. I cringe at the thought of any politician that has the woke progressive mindset that says that we need to remove them, and it removes the tension among us. There's a minuscule number in America, a minuscule element in society that somehow, some way, has the mindset that if you remove a marker, if you remove a statue, if you remove a monument, that somehow, some way, it's going to change the culture and everybody's going to be happy. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just simply do a footnote to all of the thoughts today. You can take down one marker, and that same screaming cry is going to want another and another and another. There's never a satisfaction of saying, that's enough. It's always a push to dominate and to have an individual's way in thinking. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at that article that I spoke of just before the top of the hour news break. The headline was, Mayor Orders Removal of Confederate Statues. Further in that article, it's an elongated 2-page article. I've read it and highlighted, and I want to read several of the highlighted portions. The future of the monument has been up in air since summer of 2020, when Mayor Lenny Curry moved the statue of the Confederate soldier from the monument in Hemming Plaza, later renamed James Weldon Johnson Park in front of City Hall. Now listen, if it was changed from the monument there, if it is, the name was changed. The city removed the statue of Confederate soldier at the monument, Hemming Plaza, then renamed it the James Weldon Johnson Park. I want to ask you a question. How many of you know anything about James Weldon Johnson? Did he have a pristine character, background? Is he one that a year from now, 10 years from now, or 100 years from now, somebody will say, hey, he owned a slave, or hey, he did this or that or the other? That would be, maybe he got a parking ticket, and his statue needs to come down, or the name in the park. I'm just hypothetically saying that we're looking back in history past and trying to erase it based on history present, and what a minuscule number one. This article further reads, Curry later proposed the city also move the monument from Springfield Park in late 2021, but city council withdrew the legislation without voting on it. Curry then proposed $500,000 for removing it in 2022-2023 budget. City council kept the money, but added a condition that the money couldn't be used until the city council decided whether to move it, leave it, rename it, or add historical context to it. This article further reads, as it turned out, the removal of the statue Wednesday did not draw from the $500,000 pot of money. A grant from the Jesse Ball DuPont Fund and an anonymous donation to, here's the name of an organization, 904 WARD, 904 Ward, a Jacksonville nonprofit, covered the cost removing the statue. The agreement for the work was between 904 Ward, ACON Construction Company. Ladies and gentlemen, this further states, the general counsel, Michael Fackler, said that as mayor, Deegan had the executive authority to make the decision about the monument without seeking city council approval because the work did not involve city money, and Deegan can control the park and the monument. Quote, we have worked closely with procurement, public works, and parks on the approval scope of the work in accordance with the municipal code and how to contract for complete these services, according to the chief general counsel. Confederate and other historical monuments in the state, Governor Ron DeSantis would have the authority to remove and define the elected leaders. The point is, there's a bill, two bills, one in the House, one in the Senate, that's working its way now, getting ready when the legislative session opens to be discussed and to be passed. And it's my prayer to be passed. We're going to talk about that bill. We're going to read parts of it on the broadcast today. We're going to ask you to contact your city council members. We're going to ask you to go to the city council meeting tonight. We're going to ask you to let your voice be heard to stop removing our National Heritage Monuments and to call the representatives in Tallahassee. Make a note, call them, text them, email them, asking them to please pass the two bills, one that is from the House and the Senate, merging together to be one bill, and praying that they will vote on it, pass it, let it become law. If it becomes law, the article says here, State Representative Dean Black, Republican of Jacksonville, filed legislation for 2022 legislative session and again in 2023 session to block cities from removing any Confederate and other historical memorials in the state. Governor Ron DeSantis would have the authority to remove and to fine any elected official involved in taking down such memorials. The bill says that an accurate and factual history belongs to all Floridians and future generations, and the state has an obligation to protect and preserve such history. Now, if I were in the pulpit and reading something like that, I'd say amen. That's exactly what we need to do. I believe I have Raymond on the line. Raymond, go over your question or comment, please.
Well,
hello.
Hey, Dr. Youngblood. Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Raymond. Happy New Year to you.
Hey, Happy New Year to you, and I hope you had a great Christmas, and appreciate you taking my call today. So I'm kind of back to work, so I'll be kind of brief. I'm out here trying to work as well, but just, you know, thought I'd call in and say, you know, share my thoughts anyway. You know, I heard earlier you quoted the scripture that talked about, you know, the biblical scripture for having a monument, you know, and the reasons for that. So that's kind of the main thing that I would definitely say is, you know, there's a biblical reason we put up these statues. So that's mm-hmm. the first thing. Secondly, now you just mentioned the city council meeting. There is a want to make sure everybody knows that there is a rules committee meeting at 2 p.m. today. And so if anybody that can't actually make it down, so I would say stop what you're doing. If you're available, go get ready and run down the city hall and run into the council chambers. And please go attend that council meeting at 2 o'clock if you can. I know there'll be a lot of patriots there. The city council is definitely one thing I want to point out, unfortunately, you know, is kind of like the hypocrisy. You know, Lenny Curry takes the statues down. And nobody says anything. These, you know, the Republicans are told to just shut up and go along with it. And but you know, it's wrong no matter who does it. And so the good news is now the city council is going to be jumping up and down, just trying to point the finger at Deegan as she deserves. So you know, but it's just a total. You know, that's what we can expect with Donna Deegan. You know, I mean, look, she's a radical Marxist communist, if you ask me. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but she's mayor and she's yanked these statues down. But the thing is we've got to stay involved. So keep on the city council. Talk to everybody. Show up at 2 o'clock city council today. And let's make our voices heard. And you noticed that it was as if she tipped off all the liberals and the Take 'Em Down Jacks Northside Coalition people, because it's funny how they all happened to know and were out there before daylight or at the crack of dawn the other day when she took the statues down. And then we're getting news reports later at, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning, you know. So that it was just a sad thing. But let's just keep raising our voices and doing what we can. And one thing you can do is stay after city council and show up today.
Raymond, you're exactly right. One of the things I want to run by you, and then I can elongate it on the balance of the broadcast, what Donna Deegan did, she did not go to city council. There's a reservation of $500,000 to be used for such as that if the council votes authorization to do so. But she circumvented that. She used private funds that came through the Jesse Ball DuPont Foundation. I'm looking at it again in the article in the newspaper. A grant from the Jesse Ball DuPont Fund, an anonymous donation to the 904 Ward. And I've researched the 904 Ward. And it's a group of racists that has the mindset that somehow, some way, if you take the monuments down, that you're going to stop racism in the city of Jacksonville or in America. Now, racism is bad. I don't care whether it comes from a white person or a black person. Racism is wrong. It is unbiblical. It is ungodly. It is unholy. And it ought not to be. God created one race, and it's the human race. And as we look at that, we need to understand the scripture says the heart is deceitful and wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. But at the same time, what Donna Deegan did, I believe, was an illegal act to circumvent the guidelines, the rules, the regulations, and the laws of which she's supposed to uphold as a mayor. She circumvented it by using $187,000 from donated private funds, and that donated private fund from the Jesse Ball DuPont Foundation to the 904 Ward. And the 904 Ward is a group of people that they have the goal of, quote, take them down Jacksonville to remove all of the monuments, and they'll use those funds to do so. Now, if that is not stopped, Raymond, and I'm proposing this and see what your thoughts are. If that is allowed to continue to use private funds with a private corporation, a private construction company to take down and circumvent the letter of the law, to circumvent the city council and their authority, if that is allowed, then she will then move forward with every other monument using private funds with a private company, with a nonprofit corporation, and circumventing the rules and the regulations of city council. Now, what are your thoughts on that? Mm-hmm. Should we the people just simply roll over and say that apparently is okay, so go ahead? In fact, Dean Black, the head of the chairman of the Republican Party of Duval County, blasted the removal of the statutes, calling it a stunning abuse of power by Deegan. He said doing it without consulting with city leaders or having a vote by city council is another in a very long line of woke Democrats' obsession with cancel culture and tearing down history. Choosing to erase our history is not brave, Dean Black said. It's a cowardly act done by a lawless mayor who hides under the cover of night, end quote. Now, I don't know if I could have stated that any more succinctly, but what are your thoughts? And the reason I'm asking that question and your response, I'm asking you to give, so that we can challenge the listeners to sit up and stop being silent, to go to the Rules Committee meeting at 2 o'clock today, go to the City Council meeting tonight at 5 o'clock, let your voice be heard, asking City Council to rein in the loose power, the cannon, loose cannon, with Donna Deegan, the mayor's office. What are your thoughts on my statements and feelings?
Well, absolutely. I mean, this is what communism and communists do. They just ignore the law and just do their will, and they just remove statues. And so now I might disagree a lot with Representative Dean Black as chairman of the party and all, but, you know, I really appreciate what he's doing, you know, with this. I mean, he might have other motives. Motives might not be pure, but nevertheless, what he's doing needs to be done. So I will, you know, appreciate him for that. And we've just got to stand up and say no. We cannot let these people do that. This is exactly what they will do. They will just say the law doesn't apply to us, and we're going to tear down every statue. I mean, it sounds like Hitler's, you know, Nazi Germany, you know. I mean, it's just, where does it stop? So it's up to us that, you know, if we do not stand up and say no, then we're going to get ran over and go down the same path as Nazi Germany or whatever, you know. So I agree 100%.
Absolutely. In fact, yes, I'm thankful that Ron Salem, the president of the city council, is standing up. He says in part, what else can the mayor do by raising private funds? Salem said, can she pave a road? Can she take down other statues or monuments? Can she build a bridge? End quote. He said that he also wants Fackler, that's the chief general counsel, to explain who can provide permission for a private company to come onto city property because the contract was with 904 Ward, a nonprofit, rather than between the city. Salem has asked for a response, and I've got the general counsel's elongated response, and I won't take time at this point, but just simply touch on it. But the chief general counsel has gone back now and studied what Donna Deegan has done. He's gone back supposedly to the city charter and says that Donna Deegan has the executive authority to do what she did without consulting with the city council or getting city council authorization to do so. Now, I'm surprised by that. I'm saddened by that. But it does not answer the question in relationship to taking private money from a private corporate entity, nonprofit, and using a private corporation to do the work, circumventing city rules, regulations, or guidelines. I'm prayerful, Raymond, that enough people will hear this and they'll be concerned about it enough to speak out and do something in relationship to not a retaliation, but something that the city fathers will understand that we do not want this to take place. Raymond, thank you so much for your call. Thank you for your input.
Thank you
for the guidance that you give each and every day. Have a blessed day. And let me, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much, Raymond.
God bless.
Let me challenge all of our listeners to continue to stand for truth, to continue to stand and hold our city leaders responsible for their actions. I believe we have Derby on the line. Derby, go over the question or comment, please.
Yeah, my comment is that those who say that Jacksonville is racist, there's racism in Jacksonville, they are wrong and they are lying. I did a bit of research on the Jacksonville demographics between 1970 and 2020, which is, you know, today, and looking back, in 1970, Jacksonville had 22.3% black people. Today, we have 31%. That's a 40% increase. How come blacks are moving to Jacksonville if we're racist?
Mm-hmm. Good question.
Talk about Hispanics, too. In 1970, we had 1.3% of Hispanics. 1970. Today, we have 12% Hispanics. That's a 900% increase. And Asians, we had 0.5% of Asians. Today, we have 4%. That is 800% increase. Plus, we have had two black sheriffs, a black mayor, a black city council president, black school board superintendent, and you tell me that we are racist? It's the racist to me are the black activists who hate white people and the white liberal communists. And the blacks are communists too, the activists. It bothers me too that the only slavery that they talk about is white on black in the South, but everybody knows slavery has been around all over the world from day one. So the white people in Europe were slaves to other white people or to Muslims when they were captured and taken into slavery. So slavery, I like to say that slavery today is when you make people work for others' benefit. Well, the taxpayer is a slave to the government that makes us work and pay taxes to support the illegal aliens, the lazy welfare recipients, the globalist economy, and the corrupt politicians. We are the slaves. I am a slave right now, and I'm sick and tired of it.
Derby, I think what we see taking place is the race baiters like Al Sharpton. Hear me. Many do not recall Al Sharpton in 1988, fact that he took a young 12-year-old black girl, put human fecus on her body, put her in a black plastic bag, and then put out the claim that it was two white men that had done it, only to find out months later that it was all false, phony, a setup as a race-baiting tool to be used to make it look as though somehow it was a racist problem that caused it. We're watching, in fact, Al Sharpton today has made his millions off race baiting. That's exactly what we see taking place with some of these in our city today. And I believe that this organization that is called 904 Ward can be put in that category by taking funds from the Jesse Ball DuPont Foundation anonymously, $187,000. My question is, how much of that do they keep? How much of that was really paid for the statue to be taken down? What was the, as I would call it, the rake off the top of that? I don't know, and we'll probably never know. But I think that we need to invite our listeners to join in the discussion, and that's going to be on the main discussion tonight with the city council, because I'm looking at the legal memorandum that was issued by the Chief General Counsel's office. And the bottom line is, after five pages of his memorandum, he says that Donald Deegan had the authority to do so. I think it's a biased report. I think it's a biased statement that I don't believe she has the authority to do what she did. And as Ron Salem said, if she has the authority to take private money and do that, can she build a bridge without asking questions of city council? Can she pave a road without asking city council? If she uses private funds, does it give her the authority to circumvent the rules, the regulations, the guidelines, and the requirements to go to city council? And I think it does not. So therefore, Derby, I'm in full agreement with you. We need to take a stand and say enough is enough. We're not going to take down any more of our national heritage monuments, and we're going to say no to any politician that wants to do so. Derby, thank you so much for your call.
One more point. I would also like to know the names of the private donors that contributed to funding the removal of the statue.
Well, it came from the Jesse Ball DuPont Foundation.
No, but the foundation and private donors. It's two different sources.
Yes. Yeah, I would like to know that, too. That's a good question. I'll look into that further, and I pray that if you find the answer to that, let me know. We'll talk about it. Okay. Derby, thank you so much. God bless you. Have a good day. I believe we have Danny on the line. Danny, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Dr. Youngblood, for taking my call. And I might not know a lot about this, but just a couple of questions popped in my head. And I did not hear Derby. I could not hear him, so I hope I don't copy what he just said. But my first question would be, who owns the statue?
That's a good question. The statue, here's the bottom line of what we see taking place. I've read a ton of articles in relationship to it, done a lot of research. Supposedly, if a private donor, and that's what the case was here, do not know the name of the entity of the organization or the person, private donor donates the statue to go on city property, then city has control over that statue or that memorial. And they claim, the city claims, the leadership claims, the authority that's given to the mayor with a executive authority claims that she has responsibility over all of the parks, all of the recreation, and has the authority to make a decision of what can stay and what can go and what they must do with it. Now, I'm in total disagreement with that. I find it interesting that this particular statue has been there since 1915. That's about 110, just about 110 years ago. What is it that has changed that all of a sudden it is a symbol of racism, it's a symbol of slavery, it's a symbol that we should wipe out off the history of America and say you can't do that anymore? I am concerned about where we're going with that. How much of history is enough to wipe out? One statue, two, or is it the whole 10,000 that's still left in America? How many of those do we need to wipe out to satisfy the hue and cry of the woke, progressive voices that want to destroy the fundamental foundation of America? That's my question, Danny.
Well, I would add this. If nothing were said about that statue or any of these other statues across the country, most people could not tell you the first thing about these people.
That's right.
It is done to stir the pot. It is done to raise racism or whatever their cause might be. My thought is, if we leave this alone, black and white Americans can get along just perfectly fine.
Absolutely.
I have friends that I get along well with, black and white. I have some I don't. But that's our personal decisions. We make those decisions. We don't let others do it for us. And their cause, as we know, the greater cause is for separation. They want to divide us so they can conquer us. The big evil here is the devil's behind all this.
Absolutely.
And they're wanting to break us down. Their final goal in all of this is a one world order. Well, they take total control. But I'm just tired of being told what we can or cannot do. Another question I would offer: Who is the beneficiary of this monetarily? Is it some crony of hers, or what do we know about the company that came in that obviously made a good bit of money to take the statue and move it?
They got $187,000, and it came through the 904 Ward nonprofit organization. And so my question is, 904 Ward nonprofit organization, who are the principals in that? What are their motives? What are they wanting to do? How did the contractor get contracted with that, circumvented all the rules and the regulations of governmental contracts for the state of Florida and for the city charter? Danny, our time is up for today, but thank you so much for your call, for your dialogue and discussion on it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about removing the monuments in the city of Jacksonville in particular, and removing the national monuments, the historical markers that gives us a reference of history past. All of our history in America is not necessarily all good, and when you can take it nuance and say this is good, this is bad, but all in all, it's still American history. And I believe American history should remain American history without trying to whitewash it, change it, modify it, or in any way remove it. We need to take a stand, and I challenge you to call your state representatives and say, pass the bill that will make it illegal for this to happen. I challenge us to go to the city hall tonight and say to the city councilman, do not let this take place any further. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on the broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of